Revenge of the Fifth. We preview what may or may not be available in the fifth round of your fantasy football drafts to kind of complete this run of rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Thanks for subscribing. My email is wright.todd@yahoo.com for your fantasy questions. Hooters has been the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast since season 2. We are now in season 10, and I sincerely appreciate what they do for me. Specific to the original Hooters brand that continues to open new locations in the greater Tampa Bay area and in West Central Florida. For their locations, for hours of operation, address, easy online ordering, visit originalhooters.com for those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area and in West Central Florida. Revenge of the Fifth. So fifth round. I took a break for some things that I had to do after cutting the podcast that aired regarding rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4 all on Monday. We are now Thursday, recording this at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on August 21st. The data that I use that is also free for you to use and very valuable in the pre-draft process for ADP based on mock draft data of thousands of people doing mock drafts that you don't need to know, but it's a huge sample size. It reflects a lot of information. It reflects a lot of opinion. All you want to know is perceived value. It doesn't mean you have to follow it, but it gives you an idea of what the capital is. And if you're passing on a player, it's okay, but just know that the value of that player might be higher than you think or significantly less than you think. And then it's up to you to decide. So I put in the specs of a 12-team half point, that's my hedge, so all of you can use this information, knowing I only play standard. What I see on the field, I want to reflect in our fantasy scoring. For those who I've criticized, who continue to play full point PPR, outdated 20th century fantasy football, back when running backs dominated the NFL, guys like Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith, and you had to assign a point for receptions to elevate the value of wide receivers, which you don't have to do anymore. Preaching done. So half point PPR for these purposes. So some of the data has changed since we left off with pick 48. For example, the data right now says, 3 days later, Devontae Smith is number 48. It was DJ Moore before. He's 47. So acknowledge Devontae Smith is a player on the fringe of the fourth and fifth round. I like Devontae Smith. I think he's a nice wide receiver two, honestly, at times slash three. I've said about Devontae Smith in the past, and I think most of you know, I value guys who can score touchdowns. And for much of Devontae Smith's career, he just hasn't done that. He's doing more of it. He's on a team with where you like the offense. And granted, there's a lot of other people in this offense. That said, Devontae Smith's a good, not great, fantasy player. I don't think anyone is using him as a wide receiver one. If you have him on your team, he's a nice option for you to play as a pass catcher. Kind of a wide receiver two slash three type guy. Now, right now, the data I see that he's moved up a little bit. No one else we haven't talked about moved up into the top 48. just Smith, who's the variables here, based on this mock draft data, the highest he's gone in these thousands of mock drafts is the eighth pick of the third round, 12-team league. The latest is the second pick of the sixth round. So that shows you the variations here. I'm sure that eighth pick of the third round was an Eagles fan. That's what I'm guessing. But I like Devontae Smith. I don't love him as my wide receiver, too. But you could do a lot worse. We're going to start with, and ironically, we've already talked about George Kittle. Kittle has fallen to 50 in this list. So we'll skip over him when we're talking because he's the one guy we've already talked about in previous round previews. So let me get to 49, and we'll go from here. Cortland Sutton, based on the current data from fantasyfootballcalculator.com, is ADP 49. I would like Sutton more than Smith, okay? And right now they have Smith 48, Sutton 49. Personally, I'd rather have Sutton because Sutton to me is more of a scoring threat. Sutton also, when Denver throws the ball downfield, not to a running back, which Sean Payton likes to do, he did it a lot with Javonte Williams. The problem was Javonte Williams didn't do enough with the ball. You breathe on Javonte Williams and he goes down. That's why he's in Dallas now. And Dallas didn't evaluate him properly. So when Denver, when Bo Nix drops back and is not looking at a running back, first option is Sutton. And as the guys on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour on Peacock recently said about Cortland Sutton, there are a few times a year Sutton's got the highlight catch of the week, and it's a touchdown. So the odds are in your favor on a 50-50 ball on the goal line or in the end zone. So I like that. I like the Broncos. I'm worried about the Bo Nix second year. But there's a lot I really like about the Broncos. And it's not like right now I can make a big case for anyone else taking looks away from Cortland Sutton when the Broncos throw the ball. So to me, this is really good value at ADP 49, first pick of the fifth round. Kittle has fallen to that spot next. We've already talked about George Kittle in a previous podcast at the end of round four. Let's move on to the third pick here, ADP 51, third pick of round five, and that's Travion Henderson. This is probably, let's go ahead and call it what it is. You know how you can go buy scratch-off tickets? All right, and I've compared and even said there's a player or two I'm considering at the end of the draft as a scratch-off ticket. My battle is how long can I keep them on the roster before there's someone on waivers I have to have, and then I cut the lottery ticket that I'm not patient enough. This to me is the highest lottery ticket. This is the first. This isn't a $1, $2 scratch-off. Based on where Travion Henderson is going, and I'm looking at him at ADP 51, third pick of a 12-team half-point PPR of the fifth round. This is like, it's not a $20 scratch-off ticket, but let's call it a $10 scratch-off, right? This isn't just a throwaway buck or two. This is a fifth round pick. If you're taking, let's just look at the guys we've just talked about. Okay? We've just talked about, here are the guys just in front of Henderson. Here are the five. McBride, Moore, Devontae, Cortland Sutton, George Kittle. Are there any questions about those guys? Sure, I'm not on Team Trey McBride. But I kind of know what McBride's going to do, whether I want to own in it or not, whether I think it's worth draft capital or not, and it's worth less to me because I'm in a non-mandatory tight end league. Travion Henderson, what do you know? What do you really know about what he's going to do? First of all, he's a rookie. Second of all, there is another running back in New England who's touched the ball a lot in recent years in Ramondre Stevenson and done well at times. We're going through Josh McDaniels again as offensive coordinator. I get that he's been successful in the past as offensive coordinator, but until proven otherwise, I believe the Patriot way was simply the Belichick-Brady combination. That was the Patriot way. Not Vrabel McDaniels, Drake May. You got to prove that to me. You know I feel Mike Vrabel's best strengths are his people skills with convincing people he's a nice guy. Locker room, not so sure. Some in the Titans locker room turned against him. That was the beginning of the end of him in a long, drawn-out process that wasted the best years of Derrick Henry's career. What do we know? Also, as Connor Rogers brought up on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour on Peacock, Travion Henderson is a guy that the Ohio State had to manage his reps because of concerns of injury. I know there was a foot injury. Maybe there were other things. Is that what you want? So with all these factors, is that worth a $10 scratch-off ticket? Is that worth a fifth-round pick rather than someone where you know what you're getting? You don't know what you're getting in Henderson. There's a lot of variables here. A number of them might disappoint you. So I'd say this. In these dynasty leagues I've never played in, but I consult a friend who plays in them, where you're only drafting new players or someone who wasn't even on a roster at the end of last year, that's where I think Henderson has this value against other rookies or other players who weren't on rosters last year. A fifth rounder seems like too much to me, because if you're taking him here, you're counting on him. You're counting on him to give you points, I'd say, every week. And that's a leap of faith right now on what I think is a bad team, a guy with an injury history who's going to compete for time against another established back. Look, if Henderson's good, the Patriots could trade Ramondre. I could see that. Are the Patriots stupid enough to trade Ramondre Stevenson to the Kansas City Chiefs at the deadline so the Chiefs can bolster their backfield with a very versatile threat as the Chiefs try to reach and win the AFC Championship game again? Maybe. Enough on Travion Henderson. You know how I feel. Fourth pick for our, based on our data, round five, Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley will benefit significantly from Cam Ward being the quarterback of the Titans. And much like Cortland Sutton, has very limited competition, I'll use a Gil Alexander Veasan term, pre-flop for this season to receive attention from his quarterback, so does Ridley. He's clearly the guy. And as Matthew Berry pointed out recently on Ridley, downfield, nobody drew more looks last year than Ridley. And that was from Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. And now he's got Cam. game script should allow for Ward to have the ball in his hands, looking to throw. It's not like Pollard is going to fight for the tough yards, rushing to get in the end zone. He doesn't. So there's Calvin Ridley, fifth round. Feels a little high to me, but I understand it. Xavier Worthy is next, and Xavier Worthy has won me over. I think he plays an important role until further notice with the Chiefs. He stayed healthy last year, despite his small frame. The Chiefs went from just having a player two for him to clearly using him more. We'd like to know what the Rashee Rice situation is. But I think Mahomes likes Worthy. I think there are times when Mahomes knows pre-snap that Worthy's the best option on a particular play call. And if Mahomes has the time to make the throw, that Worthy can go do it. It reminds him, it's the closest thing he's had to having someone like that since Tyreek Hill was traded. Also remember in the ESPN televised fantasy football draft, Mike Clay took Xavier Worthy in round 6. So value here is a little high at 5. If a Mike Clay is taking him 6 to be his wide receiver 3, that's telling to me. Patrick Mahomes is next. So he's quarterback, what, 6 based on the data? Behind, in order of this mock draft data, Jackson, Allen, Burrow, Daniels, Hurts, and then Mahomes up next. I know some of you have already made up your mind. You're not drafting Patrick Mahomes. Okay. The data here says after the first 5, Mahomes is going in that next tier. Chiefs were one of, what, 3 teams last year in the regular season who didn't get to 30 points. Does Mahomes do enough for you as a fantasy quarterback? Is he worth the pick here, or would you rather wait and just get other guys who are going to do more for you at a lower price? It's funny how Mahomes, the best quarterback in the game, has become a fantasy enigma. Personally, I probably won't own him. I love watching him, though. DeAndre Swift is next. I get this. DeAndre Swift now with Ben Johnson. Ben knows something about using running backs based on Gibbs and Montgomery in Detroit, getting them in space, blocking schemes for them near the goal line. DeAndre Swift's in a great spot to have a good year. He really is. It's not like, has anyone heard out of Chicago that someone else could really take a lot of work away from DeAndre Swift? So we see him here as pick 7 of round 5. Then Baker Mayfield's next. Yeah, I'd rather have Baker Mayfield than Patrick Mahomes. I might rather have Baker Mayfield rather than Joe Burrow. I might. Because I think Baker can get you something with the legs. And I mean, over the last 2 years, and granted Burrow's dealt with some injuries, but Baker throws as many touchdowns as Burrow. Zay Flowers is next. Is Zay Flowers becoming one of those guys that kind of quietly just gets the job done as one of your wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3? if Lamar Jackson's going to continue to put up these big numbers in the regular season, certainly not in the postseason, where in his five playoff losses, Lamar Jackson's offenses have averaged less than 7 points per game. But Zay appears to be one of his guys that he can throw to. Mark Andrews is another one. Then we get to David Montgomery at ADP 58. I made the mistake of not seeing value in David Montgomery last year. One of our league champions saw the value, and that tells you all you need to know. I feel the Lions will suffer significantly. It's not just that they lost Ben Johnson. It's not just that they lost Frank Ragnow. It's who is calling the offensive plays now for Detroit. I think it's a bad, bad choice. And it reflects that their head coach doesn't know any better. He knows people through people. And it wasn't a let's go out and get the best offensive play caller available. It was let me go get a recommendation from someone I trust. Again, the Lions play caller, the last time he called offensive plays, Todd Bowles fired the guy in New York. So it's going to be tough for me to invest a pick this high in a David Montgomery for as great of an athlete as he is and how he continues to get it done, especially near the goal line. Tet McMillan is next. This also feels like a Travion lottery ticket. I don't know why McMillan is going before Ibuka. I don't understand it. I get that Ibuka is on a team with Mike Evans. Okay, so you can't say Ibuka is Baker Mayfield's number one option in the passing game. And Bucky Irvin caught 47 balls last year. Granted, he didn't score on a single one of them. Not a single reception. To me, there's no scenario where I would take McMillan over Ibuka here if you're just comparing rookie wide receivers. I'm not. Dave Canales wants to run the ball. And, you know, there are certain teams, there are certain play callers that really want to run the ball. And what you have to understand is if you have wide receivers on those teams, the trickle down is there's going to be less opportunities for your wide receivers to get you fantasy points. Why? Because they're only involved in passing plays. That's the case with Ladd McConkey. It's also the case with any wide receiver in Carolina. Last guy, oh, there he is, Tony Pollard. And then we'll actually bring up Jameson Williams at 61. Tony Pollard gets the benefit of the doubt a lot. However, and it's very unfortunate for him and for the Cowboys that he broke his leg in a divisional playoff game where Dallas lost to San Francisco a couple years ago. The problem with Pollard is when it comes to fighting for the extra yard, he loses the fight. I've seen it so often. And you can go back. I've talked about this on a previous podcast. You can go back to a late season game, Cowboys-Dolphins. Pollard gets the ball. I forget if it's a handoff or a pass. And he's headed to the left side. And there's a lot of space there. And there's Dolphin players sort of closing from the end zone and from the side. And up until even the 1 yard line, you're thinking touchdown Cowboys, and somehow Pollard doesn't score. It's funny, he goes down almost backwards and then puts up his arm like, oh, I scored. And he didn't. And then Dak fumbled on the next play. Pollard is not for me. And based on game script, I think Tennessee is going to have and want the ball much more in Cam Ward's hands. Now, he'll throw to Tony Pollard on checkdowns or to try to get first downs, but Pollard doesn't turn those into touchdowns either. And then I will acknowledge Jameson Williams at 61. Surprised by the Jameson Williams yardage. I may have mentioned this in a previous podcast, just under 1,000 yards last year. There's a lot of baggage here that the Lions manage. I don't think it's ever going away. They've put up with a lot of his shit. And granted, they put up with it because they thought they might get to a Super Bowl and win it. Now they're going in the opposite direction. Also, two key assistant coaches are gone. How do they handle the next stupid thing Jameson Williams does? And how do they handle it if they're looking up at Green Bay or looking up at Minnesota and, dare we say, looking up at Chicago or any combination of those things? I don't know. But he is good for some big plays. But Ben Johnson was really good at, much like Andy Reid, with let's get Xavier Worthy involved, and then we'll get him more involved. Ben Johnson figured out how to use Jameson Williams. He's not there anymore. And Ben Johnson was great on trick plays. He's not there anymore. So this looks very volatile to me. While I was impressed by the numbers, the yardage numbers Williams put up last year, much like a Ridley, big chunks of yardage. Worthy, big chunks of yardage, which you like. And the ability to finish plays and get in the end zone. Little too high on the ADP, though. I think I got Jameson Williams, was it last year or the year before? Very, very late. He's not a fifth round or sixth round guy for me. Questions, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. I'm not going to preview the sixth round, so this ends sort of this run of conversation. We'll have some other stuff to talk about in our next podcast, and look forward to doing it for you. And as you do your fantasy drafts, you are free to send me the results of your fantasy draft as condensed as possible. Here's the most important thing. If you're going to send me just who you took, I need to know in order of the rounds you took, and then tell me kind of what pick overall. All right. Or you can simply say, here are my players. Here's the order I took them. I had the fifth pick in the first round of a 10-team league, and we snake. So that allows me to sort of give you an opinion. I'd love to know what you did. I'd love to tell you what you did right. And it would help me with the podcast knowing what else is going on out there with perceived ADP. Maybe you'll tell me something that will help me in one of my drafts. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thank you so much for listening.